Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurimilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Nama Shrestham Nada Vesha Tikutamatra Sarupam Rupam Tasya Vyamari Kuri Matri Yoshati Radha Kundam Girivara Maho Radhika Madhava Shamprapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shivam Tavatasya Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Tathagatam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagara Raghunatam Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvaitam Ajara Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagara Vandita Shri Vishnakantam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare. Please sit in such a manner they make a human wall, and then devotees won't walk in front of the council. Logistics. I have to cover this space also. There's a, then so they want to come in and go that way. Okay. Sri Vishnu Sahasranam. Next verse. Speaking of. Stavya, 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 stavya kriya. Stotram stuti stota pranapriyaha purnaf purayita punya punya kirtir anamayaha. Name 684 is stavya. So I think you've all heard the word stava. It's not just like we have, you know, Jivan Vaishnava Somavati, Radhika Stavatma, Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Dayati. Stava means praise, and Stavya means who is worthy of praise, who is the proper person to praise, who should be praised. Name for Lord Vishnu. Who should be praised? Why should you praise somebody? Praise somebody because they have qualities. There's one reason to praise them. One reason to praise people maybe because of fear. Just like with the big demon, Hiranyakashipu. Others may have praised him out of fear of punishment. God may also be praised out of fear, not Krishna. You get that? God may be praised out of fear. In the Christian religion, at least as I learned it, you have to fear God. So the idea, if you don't praise him, then he'll smash you. I will smite him ad infinitum, is what I learned it from some silly song there. Hymn. Soul is a genre of music. Gospel. And out of that came soul, and out of that came rhythm and blues, and out of that came rock and roll, and so on and so on. And so on. They're slaves in America, their songs to them. So one of the God speaking, I will smite them ad infinitum. I will smite them. Smite me gives the idea of smashing someone on their head. Or elsewhere on the world. Ad infinitum. So the idea is God will punish you in hell eternally, so you better praise him. Otherwise you'll get a lot of trouble. So that's one motive for praising him. Praise to some of their qualities. It may be praises offered to a superior, maybe offered to an inferior or so. Very good boy. Very good boy. You did something good. Praise a child. May even praise a dog. Good boy. Good boy. Say to the dog. If he licks you nicely. Good boy. And the dog becomes very happy. But this praise of Krishna is in another dimension altogether. Just like we have Sri Radhika stuff. Rajavilasa stuff, praise of Krishna and his pastimes in Vrindavan. Who should we praise? We praise someone for their qualities, and Krishna has all qualities, all good qualities. We may praise someone who we fear, just like demons may praise Hiranyakashipu. Not that he actually has good qualities, but if he likes to think that he has them. And so he likes to be praised. Krishna likes to be praised also. However, there is this statement we find in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that the rebukes by Krishna's lovers in Vrindavan is more pleasing to Krishna than the praises of the Vedic hymns. That's on a very high level. That's in the section in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita which is describing the reasons for the appearance of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's come to relish the feelings of love that Sri Radha holds for Krishna. That love which is on such a high level, that not only Radha, but the gopis, they they can chastise Krishna. But that is a relationship of, because it's on the platform of love, Krishna enjoys that. And we find in the Bhagavatam also that Krishna with Rukmini, Krishna is trying to goad Rukmini into becoming angry with him. He says all kinds of crazy things to her. Like, well, actually you made a bad choice marrying me, but anyway you could divorce me and get married to someone else. So this time Rukmini already had grandchildren. So he was trying to make her angry with him because he wanted to enjoy that rasa, that those feelings that householders may have. They're calling each other bad names or becoming angry with each other. But it's on a different level to that of the demons who are actually envious of Krishna. It's not praise, but it's beyond, it's higher than praise even. But first we have to learn to praise Krishna. Not that we may think, well, the gopis, they chastise Krishna and they say, they call him bad names. So we shall do so also. No, that's not for us. We should praise him. Understand, he is great, we are small. Praise also may be, praise goes on in this material world on a very foolish level. Especially at the present time, praise for sports heroes, or sport, the word is used right, hero, sport hero, or film star. And may be praised. Politicians may be praised. But it's all very shallow. What are their qualities? The quality of a sport star or a sport hero, they're able to run faster than someone else. Yeah, I always say that. Well, you give the gold medal to the fastest runner, then you bring this big cat, the cheetah, is supposed to be the fastest running animal. Can run about 100 kilometers an hour, so fast. So put that in the Olympic race, and then you'll win every time. Or you have a weightlifter, he practices so hard. Maybe she also nowadays. Women's weightlifting. Probably. Everything's so crazy nowadays. I don't think the champion woman weightlifter is going to be anywhere near the male weightlifter, right? They can't, there's no equality. You can't artificially make it equal. So I always say, well, just forget all this practicing hard to win, because just bring any baby elephant and they can lift any more than the world weightlifting champion. So we can praise, oh, what a great athlete. He's trained so hard and now has come to the level of a baby elephant. And maybe in the next life they'll become an elephant also, because they want to get a big, strong body and lift weights. So there are useless qualities which are praised by useless people. On the other hand, we have the description in the Vishnu Purana, that is famous. Famous means especially in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, which of course the Vishnu Purana is promoted among all the Puranas. And in that Sampradaya there is much, it's very much based on praise of the Lord, with love. So those words are there. Ananta Kalyana Guna. He has unlimited qualities which are beneficial. The quality of a weightlifter could be beneficial. He could be engaged in the kind of work that elephants in Asia and Africa, in Asia, in Africa, elephants, I don't think they tame them at all until wild. But that was a very common thing, that elephants, just like you see these big temples in South India. So how did they get all those big stones? It ran on elephant power. We've heard of horse power, they had elephant power. So that they could get the stones into position. So a very strong man could lift big stones, but some benefit is there to could be used in human society. But even all the elephants of the world put together, their strength only comes from Krishna. So he uses his strength for subduing the demons, for holding up the world. Everything he does is auspicious. All his qualities are auspicious. There may be a beautiful film star, so that may be considered something very good for the world, that people can lust over her. The skin filled with stool and so many things, a bag of stool, bones, they may lust over that. But by lusting over that beautiful body, they become more and more lusty and go to her. But by appreciating the transcendental beauty of Krishna, who is Kandarpa Koti Kamaliya Visheshasha, whose extraordinary beauty outdoes that of millions of Kamadevas, Cupids. One becomes purified from the desire to enjoy the bodies of other human beings, that desire that drives us down to hell. So Krishna's qualities, they're in a different, not only are they superior in all respects to those of material people, or materially conditioned souls, but they're also in the category, they're purifying. And they actually have some, they're helpful for us. So Krishna, Ananta Kalyana Guna. This is also, Vishnu Purana states, Ananta Kalyana Gunatmakoso. He is the one who is, his very being, just Achintya Guna Swarupa. His form is composed of inconceivable qualities. So this one is the same thing. Ananda Kalyana Gunatma Koso. He is the one who's he's made of, or he's characterized by qualities that are unlimited, and an unlimited number of qualities that are all auspicious and all beneficial. Therefore, he is praised. Picking up on this phrase, Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī in his Paramātma Sandharva states, Tathā parattena nirāstākira heya pratyānika svarūpatvam jñānādi anantakalyāna gunatvam sūcita. So there are many important words here. That his qualities are of the quality, that there is no question of any fault or any badness in him. It may be that someone has very good qualities, but they have some bad qualities also. Or it may be that they have good intentions, but despite all their good intentions, their endeavors actually turn out to be not only non-beneficial, but harmful to others. But in Krishna, there's no question of anything but all auspiciousness in connection with him. There's an important term, Suru Damodar, the secretary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He stated in relation to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Amandao Daya Daya, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is such that there is no question of his mercy giving any harm in any way to anyone. His mercy is all auspicious. To understand that statement, we can compare the mercy that we may try to exhibit in this world. A person is hungry, feed them. So many Daridra Narayan, according to the Vivekananda philosophy, they may be fed with goat's meat, the poor goats. It's not auspicious for the goats. Or even if you feed someone without giving them spiritual knowledge, if they're destined to go hungry, then you're just putting off their hunger until another time. Or by feeding hungry people, we often find that just like welfare programs invented by government, social welfare programs, give money. People can't get any work. There's no work, so give them some money so they can live. And then you create a whole class of people who avoid any work and just become parasites on society because they say, well, I get money from government, why should I work? Or the phenomenon of unmarried mothers, the poor girls, there are very few in society at one point in time, the poor girls, they're struggling, they have a child, they don't have a husband, okay, give them some money, government will give them some money, the tax money taken from those who are working, and from the responsible husbands who are working, and then the girls think, oh, I don't need a husband. So I just take money from the government. So the idea is to benefit the poor, innocent girls who somehow or other became pregnant and didn't have enough sense to have an abortion in time. So the poor girl had to raise the child, so we have to help them, be merciful to them. And then you get a whole class of unmarried mothers who are just living at the cost of the state because they think, what do I need a husband for? I just take money from the government. So the plans to do good for others in this world, devoid of Krishna consciousness, they all work out wrong. There's no perfect plan. What's the perfect system for governing in this material world? This democracy and capitalism, that's very good, isn't it? And everyone has equal opportunities. But then you see there become discrepancies. Some people become very rich, some people become very poor. So what we need is communism. Everyone works according to their capacity and takes according to their need. Sounds good. Didn't work. Then what else? What's the perfect system? Varnashram? Is that a perfect system? Maybe the system's perfect, but there's nothing perfect in this world. It's a system for... Varnashram Dharma is a system for regulating imperfection. Because the very nature of this material is imperfect. So maybe the best system, but there will be discrepancies there also. As long as people are not perfect. And then if they are perfect, they're not in this material world. Either the Varnashram system can be misused. So everything in this material world is subject to degradation, to being misused and exploited. But with Krishna there's no such thing. He's non-corruptible. There's no system that can be created in this material world that demons won't take advantage of. The idea we have democracy, we have a free press so that people can be informed and they know what's going on. But the demons, whatever the system is, the demons will find some way to exploit it for their own imagined benefit and cause misery to others. But with Krishna, there's no such thing. He's in such a category, so good, we can't imagine. In material existence, we can't imagine anyone so good. And practically in the modern age, we gave up trying to imagine. That's why we have sports heroes and film stars. Instead of praising people who do some actual, or who we think might do some actual good to human society, then we praise people who they do some imaginary good. Sports hero. The Indian cricket hero. Did great hero for India. But what is the actual good? The people whose crops are failing in the fields, people of India, and someone hits a six in the test match, unless you're Indian, or maybe English, you don't understand what this means. Or scores a goal in the football game. It's a national hero, scored a goal. But it doesn't help the person who's got tuberculosis or whatever, dying, the homeless person in the street, it doesn't help them. But it's just some imagination. We won the game. What do you mean, we? What are you? You're just a spectator. This imaginary, we imagine something. But Krishna has all virtues and no faults, and all his virtues are actual virtues. Therefore, he should be praised. To fail to praise him is itself a fault. If we praise him, it's not really a good quality on our part. Because we should do. But to fail to praise him is a fault on our part, because we should do. That would become a sin of omission. There's crimes of commission and crimes of omission. Crimes of commission means when you do something you shouldn't do, and crimes of omission means when you don't do something you should do. So to fail to praise him is a fault. He is the proper person to praise. In the Mangalacharan, the auspicious invocation that Sri Baladev Vidyabhushan, the Gaurya Vaishnava commentator on Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, gives in his auspicious invocation to this Vishnu Sahasranama, then Baladev Vidyabhushan also cites these words. Ananta kalyana gunaika varidhir vibhuchit ananda dhano bhajat priya Krishna stri shakti bahumurtir ishvaro vishvaika hetu sakkarotuna shubham. May Lord Krishna, the all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appears in many forms, is the original creator of this universe, the master of the three potencies, full of transcendental knowledge and bliss, very dear to the devotees, and an ocean of unlimited auspicious qualities. Grant auspiciousness to us. So he cites these words. There's a song by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is from his Yamuna Bhavavan, which is his Bengali poetic rendering of certain verses that he has selected from Yamuna Acharya's Stotra Ratna. You can read time to time. Stotra Ratna, very beautiful work of Yamuna Acharya. Some of the prayers of which Stotra means almost the same as stava, praise, prayer, and Ratna, jewel of prayers. So some of those verses are cited in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the text itself, which means that there was some knowledge of the South India, the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya in Bengal at the time of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And I had one very nice experience a few years ago, meeting one Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya Jiya, which means an acharya deep in the south of Tamil Nadu. I can't remember exactly the name of the place. And I talked with him, I quoted these verses, and he was very happy. He quoted them. What are those, but now I can't remember. There are three of them. No, that's not from Yaman, that's from Kulashekar Alva. That's from his Mukunda Mala Stotra. Krishatri. Bhavantameva Anucharan. Nirantar. I just can't remember it now. Prashant Nishesha Manoran. Bhavantameva Anucharan. Nirantara. Prashant Nishesha Manoran. Kadaham Aikantika Nitya Kinkara Praharshiyashami Sanata Jivita. So that's one of the prayers where he says, when will that day come? When Bhavantameva Anucharan. I'll be counted as your eternal servant, and I'll be by being counted as your eternal servant, then all the shaking and churning of the mind on the mental platform, that will all be finished, and that my mind will become very peaceful and happy. Knowing that I'm sheltered, I have my master, I'm not an orphan anymore. Then there are two more verses which Srila Prabhupada quotes in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Just not remembering this now. I didn't think of that. Anyway, I'll just go through this song. Hari he, tumi sarva guna juta shakti tava bashi bhuta vadana sharala shuchi dhir dayalu madhura shama kriti stira sarvatama kritagya lakane guna bhir shamashta kalana gun guna amrita sambhavana samudra sharupa bhagavan Bindu bindu guna tava sarva jiva shubhai bhava tumi purna sarva shakti man. Ei bhakti vinocha kritanjali barba kore chitta kata bigapan. Tava dasha gana shange tava lila kata ronge jai jena amara jivan. So this is praise of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, paraphrasing Yamuna Acharya. Praise of Krishna. Oh my Lord Hari, you are invested with all good qualities, for all energies are fully under your control. You're most magnanimous, straightforward, clean, pure, patient, compassionate, sweet, equal to all, successful, peaceful. You're the best of all, most appreciative, and the greatest hero. You are the fathomless, ocean-like origin of all immortal, nectarian qualities of auspiciousness. And you are thus the supreme possessor of all spiritual opulences. All souls can individually display only a small drop from the ocean of your unlimited complete qualities. Thus you are the perfectly complete energetic source of all potency. So that's also stated in the Bhaktivinoda Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, how Krishna has these qualities, and the jivas, they can also, the jiva, the soul, the individual soul, in the pure state can reflect the qualities of Krishna, but only in a minor way, not in the to the extent that Krishna can. Now this most fallen Bhaktivinoda prays again and again with folded hands, humbly confessing all these talks from the core of his heart. O Lord, may I pass my life absorbed in enjoying all these discussions about your transcendental pastimes in the company of your loving servitors. So this name, Stavya, it's one of those names in Vishnu Sahasranama which covers all the other names. Because all the names in Vishnu Sahasranama, they're all connected to qualities of Vishnu. So the fact that he is praiseworthy, he's praiseworthy because he has all the qualities. And what are those qualities? But we get insight into them from Vishnu Sahasranama. So some of the names, they're universal. They cover all the other meanings in Vishnu Sahasranama. Not all the names are like that. For instance, there's the name Narasimhavapu that specifically refers to the form of Nrsimhadev. Not different from, but not specifically the same as Vamanadeva. So that name doesn't cover all names. Then in the beginning of Vishnu Sahasra, we have the third name, Vashatkara, the sound that is in a yajna, in a sacrifice, the particular sound that is to be pronounced. So that doesn't cover all names. But names like Stavya, that covers everything else. Bhagavan, that includes everything else. Krishna, that includes everything else. So this is one of those names. Everything is included. There are different forms of the Lord. Narasimha. Here, he looks peaceful. You see his teeth a little bit also. So don't provoke him. But generally we think of Narasimha, terrible form of the Lord. There's no dancing with the gopis. It'd be a very strange. It's not possible. Of course, everything's possible for Krishna, but there's his lila. Lila means pastime, so there's a script also. And it's not an avant-garde theater where you just make up as you go along. So they're all different moods. Narasimha shows the terrible mood. Vamanadeva shows the beauty of the Lord. Balaram also shows the beauty. Balaram also shows the strength. So in this way, they sometimes, often, especially we come across Muslims and Christians, and they have the idea that not only monotheism, but they have a monolithic idea of God. He's like that, and he's like that, and he's like that, and nothing else. He's only like that. But Krishna is multifaceted. We can't understand everything about him. And all he within the personality of Krishna, there are all moods, all bhavas. Oh, he is Akhila Rasamrita Murti. He's the reservoir of all pleasure and all loving exchanges. So everything is there, Krishna. And then we find in Vedic culture, Hindu culture, all different levels for all different kinds of people. There's Kali worship. The British, when they came to India, they couldn't relate to that at all. They couldn't relate to anything. Why don't they kill the cows? What's wrong with them? They don't kill cows. They're funny people. But how could God, for a start, how can God be a female? And what is this? Holding decapitated heads. Extremely angry, chopper in her hand. But that on the material level appeals to all different kinds of mentality. That's there in the spiritual level also. Even we find everything's there in Vedic culture. Do you want to know how to have sex in the best way? It's right there, Kama Sutra. It's there in the Vedic culture. Everything is there. But the purified form of that, of all the feelings, all the moods, all the attitudes, all the possibilities, everything is there in Krishna. So we may, certain people may like to worship Kali, but then they have to go to some other, if they want something else or they have some other mood, they have to go to some other demigod or demigoddess. But everything's full and complete in Krishna. And he's the source of all the gods and demigods. And the worship of him brings one to the pure platform. In Bengal, among the Hindus, especially in West Bengal, the worship of Kali is very popular. So we find in Mayapur area, of course, the Mayapur temple is there, ISKCON, Mayapur Chandra Daya Mandir, the temple of the rising moon of Lord Chaitanya. So the deities there of Radha Madhava with the eight gopis and the Panchatattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadanta, Shivas, and Narasimha Dev. And he's not pretending to be peaceful like he is. He's fierce, again, very, very fierce, fearsome deity. But we find the local Hindus, they're more attached to Narasimha Dev. I see on their motorcycles, they'll put, right in Bengali, Jai Narasimha Dev, not Jai Radha Madhava. They're attracted. So that's my idea. It's Krishna's idea. How to get all these Bengalis away from worshipping Kali, then bring them to Narasimha Dev. The same mood, but that worship of Kali will keep us in material existence. And that same mood, the terrible protector, if you're under the protection of Kali, or Ma Kali, Mother Kali, we're under the protection of Narasimha, then we have nothing to fear. Then we, Abhayam, Abhayam, we pray to him. So we become fearless, praise him, taking shelter of him. So that all the feelings, all the moods, everything is there in Vishnu, Krishna. So therefore he is stabil, praiseworthy. And his qualities are eternal also. Demigods come and go. Krishna is always there. Now of course, within the snobbish Hinduism, there are those who think, we're on a higher level, we're on the level of Jnana. And for lower people, they can worship different gods. Or the Christians, they think our God is very moral, your Krishna is very immoral. And all your gods, you see, some of them are killing others, and some of them are dancing with girls, and our God is very moral. But the proper understanding is given in the Vedic culture. Veda means knowledge, and knowledge ultimately means knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're not shy to say that Krishna is not only, he's not moral according to our standards of morality, but he transcends that. So yes, Krishna does dance with beautiful girls. Krishna does kill the demons. All the moods are there, whatever. What mood you have, that is ultimately in Krishna. But in Krishna, it is Kalyana Guna. It is auspicious quality. Krishna's anger is beneficial for the whole world. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his family life, one time living in Navadvipa, he asked Srivas Thakur, you recite Vishnu Sahasranam, you say Vishnu Sahasranam. And very early in the Vishnu Sahasranam comes the name Narasimha Bapa, the one who has a form of a man and a lion. So hearing that name, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became absorbed in the mood of Narasimha and ran out on the street in the mood of Narasimha, and he is Narasimha. In extremely angry form, and everyone ran away, terrified. And seeing that Nima, he wasn't known as Chaitanya at that time, before he took sentence, he came back to Srivas's house and he was very sorry. He said, it was not good. And to make the people unhappy and afraid, that's not good. He felt very sorry. Srivas said, no, whoever saw you in that mood, they're liberated from eternity. So everything he does is all auspicious. His anger is auspicious. His apparent immorality, dancing with others' wives, that's auspicious. This has to be understood carefully. God is not obliged to follow our ideas of what is good, but ultimately everything he does is good for everyone. Anger, killing, death, and of course, beauty, sweetness, love. But even everything about him is sweet. There's that song of Lalabhacharya, Madhura Adipate Rakilam, Madhuram. Everything about him, he is the Lord of sweetness. Everything about him is sweet. So in there we get Rupam Madhuram. His form is very sweet. Vachanam Madhura, his speaking is very sweet. Yamuna Madhura, his Yamuna is very sweet. We also get Damanam Madhura, his suppressing and smashing the demons. That's also very sweet. There's also Vamitam Madhura. Vamitam means vomiting, literally. Everything about him is sweet. It's not within our conception of what is sweet and what is nice and what is good. He does everything, but it's all sweet. It's all good. Therefore, he is to be praised. Different demigods, they may be praised. The worshippers of Kali, they praise Kali. They do Kali puja. And then that comes in the... that would be at the end of the rainy season. And then in the spring there's Saraswati. Then they'll do Saraswati. And there are different pujas throughout the year. So Kali is praised for certain things. She protects. Saraswati, she gives ability, helps the students in the study, and the musicians and the singers. So they're praiseworthy, especially the intellectuals and the musicians. They'll want to praise Saraswati. But Krishna is all praiseworthy because everything is there in Krishna. We want expertise in singing, we can go to Krishna. And why should we want expertise in singing? Only to glorify Him. And for that purpose, we could approach Saraswati also. If we approach her, knowing her to be the agent of Krishna, who is engaged only in praising Krishna. So we may ask for her blessing, especially on the day of Saraswati Puja. May you please, may I, as you are eternally engaged in praising Krishna, you please bless me with a little of your potency. Although we don't observe Saraswati Puja formally. We do, but we observe it by worshipping Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. So Krishna can fully satisfy everyone in all respects. Therefore He is most praiseworthy. Stavya praiseworthy, that name can be applicable, or that description can be applicable to all kinds of people. But the one who is most praiseworthy, the one from whose potency others who are praised, they gain the qualities by which they are praised, and those qualities which only reflect in a small degree the qualities of Krishna, that person should be praised. It may be that we're even praising, just like we may praise a rich man, oh, you are very great. How about giving me a little bakshish? We may praise someone because we want to get something from them. Well, that's also a start. Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritina arjuna artho jignyasu artharati. Artharati means someone who wants money. So they may praise Krishna. Give me some money. It's a beginning. Otherwise, that tendency, the tendency is there to praise others. But that gets diverted. Like I say, politicians, we may praise politicians. We may praise others just because everyone else does, going along with the crowd. We may wrongly ascribe saintly qualities to people. We may think they are very saintly persons. Just like in Goa, in India, St. Francis Xavier, he's called a saint because he converted so many people to Christianity by such... Some of the things are so horrible, I don't want to say here. Actually, very, very horrible persecution and torture. But he's praised, oh, great saint. He converted people from heathenism to Christianity. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it stated, Yang Brahma Varunendra Rudra Maruta Stundanti Divyai Stavaya. That word comes as Stavaya. Divyai Stavaya. Yang, that person who is praised by Brahma, Varuna, Indra, Rudra, the Marathas, all the demigods. Vedai Sangapada Kramopanishadai Gayanti Angsamagaha. All the Vedas with the Upanishads and the corollary literatures. They praise him. Dhyana Vasita Tatkatena Manasapa Shanti Yam Yogino. Who is seen in yogic trance by the perfect yogis, who is the object that they wish to perceive. Yasyanta Navidu Surasur Gana Devaya Tasmai Nama. To that God, whose name is not mentioned here, but it's understood, it's Krishna. To that God, the end of whose quality cannot be found out by the demigods or the demons, to that person we offer our respect. So if there's any one power or powerful who should be praised, deserves to be praised, forever, by everyone, continuously, that is Krishna. He is the ultimate and proper focus of all praise, singing, kirtan, glorification. There is one famous Vaishnava poet in South India, Telugu poet. He's still, his songs are still very popular. Annamacharya. He's famous among Telugu-speaking Vaishnavas. So there used to be a system that the kings would be praised by professional praisers. They would make up prayers and poems to praise the king, and the kings would give them some money and support them in this world. But this Annamacharya, he would only praise Vishnu. And but there was one king who was appreciative of that, and he supported Annamacharya very nicely, gave him sufficient wealth to live comfortably. But at one point this king, he was pushing, why not, all the time you're praising Vishnu, actually as the king it's proper that you should also praise me. Just at least one time you praise me. He refused completely, he left. He didn't stay even to discuss with the king, he just left. And then how will he be maintained with his two wives? Didn't think, just walked out. No. I'm not going to praise anyone except Vishnu. The king was thinking about, I also do so much, I'm big and powerful, and the citizens are depending on me. I have good qualities. It's also proper to praise the king. No. Non-negotiable, not even, can't even think about it. Not possible. Left. Never came back. Quote from the Brihaspati Sanghita. Now, in the Brihaspati Sanghita, it's stated that people go to a rich man and praise him. And the rich man knows, actually he's praising me because he wants some money. Okay, give him some money. He feels flattered. So if we go to Vishnu and praise him in the same way, that's a long, long way from pure devotional service. Okay, I'm praising you. You give me some blessings so I can become healthy, happy in this material world. It's a long, long way from pure devotional service. But even if someone praises him in that way, he gets on the path to pure devotion and relief from all the miseries of this material existence. Such is the power of praising him. By praising a rich man, one may get a little money. No eternal benefit. Some temporary, not even real benefit at all. But by praising Vishnu, then one is eternally benefited, even if one does so for the wrong motive. Now, the wrong motive is wrong. But the point is that by approaching Vishnu, our purification begins. Just like if we approach a fire, we're going to get warm. The natural characteristic of the fire is to give warmth. So if we come close to a fire, we're going to get warm. If we come close to Vishnu, his natural characteristic, Kalyana Guna, he wants to benefit everyone. So somehow or other, if we come in contact with him, we will be benefited. Of course, if we know how to take advantage of the fire, then we can be benefited. We can take benefit from it in the best possible way. So in the same way, if we learn from devotees how to properly praise Vishnu without any personal desire, that will be more beneficial for us. in this Vishnu Sahasrana, we're just at the end of it, after the names have been spoken, Bhishma, who speaks this Vishnu Sahasrana, we find it in the Mahabharata, Bhishma tells Yudhishthira, because how did this Vishnu Sahasrana come to be spoken? We find that Yudhishthira approaching Bhishma, who's lying on his bed of arrows, he, after hearing so many things from Bhishma, Yudhishthira asks him about how can we get the highest benefit, and then he says, by reciting the names. Bhishma says, by reciting the names of the Lord, and then he gives these Vishnu Sahasrana. And at the end of doing that, Bhishma in what is called the Phalashruti, that means the explanation, at the end of a work, is given the explanation of what benefit will we get from reciting. So Bhishma Dev says, Itidam kirtani yasya keshavasya mahatmanaha nam nam sahasram divyanam asheshena prakirtitam. So Bhishma said, I recited the 1,000 divine names of that great personality, the supreme being, Keshava, who is worthy of being praised. So I've given them all the 1,000 transcendental names. So that the name Keshava signifies that he, Ka indicates Brahma and Isha indicates Shiva. So he is the supreme person, Mahatma, he is superior even to Shiva and Brahma. The word Divya, the commentators on Vishnu Sahasranam have analyzed what are the specific meanings, the specific significance of these words in this verse. Otherwise words like Divya, it's a common word, but what is the specific meaning in this context? The Acharyas commenting on this, they say that the term Divya in the context of this verse means that these 1,000 names are worthy of being recited both in this world and in the spiritual world. And Kirtaniyasya emphasizes that he is the one who is worthy of being praised. So this praise of Krishna that goes on in Kirtan, that goes on in this world, it goes on in the spiritual world. It's we're doing it here. It's actually an activity of the spiritual world. It's not an activity of the material world. To praise Krishna is an activity of the spiritual world. Golokera Premadhan Harinama Shankita. This chanting of the holy names of Krishna is actually the wealth of the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada commenting on this said that this Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy names, is imported from the spiritual world. So by chanting the holy names, by the mercy of he whose names are chanted, we become qualified to enter the spiritual world. So that's another reason to praise. He is all praiseworthy for all his transcendental qualities. And another of his transcendental qualities is that by praising him, we go to the spiritual world. We very easily cross over the ocean of material suffering. So that's another of his great qualities, that even without performing very difficult austerities, even without being very learned scholars, even without having a background of very pious activities, we may be very sinful by background, but if we take up this process of glorifying Krishna, then by this easy process, then by his mercy, simply by praising him, we can be free from all material contamination and go to the spiritual world. And not just free from it, but then we also become charmed by Krishna, overwhelmed by his transcendental qualities, and we enter the ocean of spiritual bliss. So it's not just getting free from material life, much, much more than that. Entering into the bliss of spiritual existence. So Krishna's Ananta Kalyana Guna. He his transcendental qualities are unlimited in quality, in quantity and quality. He has unlimited transcendental names. And all of those names, each name can be analyzed unlimitedly because his qualities are of unlimited depth. And no matter if we go on all our life, millions of lifetimes, he's not going to end. What are we doing in the spiritual world? We praise Krishna. We don't. It's not that, oh, I've been doing praising Krishna. Okay, I'm getting bored. Let's do something else. Just like one of the ex-archbishops of Canterbury, means the head of all the Anglican denominations, major Protestant Christian denomination all over the world. So he was asked, what do you want to do when you go to heaven? The question's wrong. What do you want to do? And it presumes that he's going to heaven. So he said, I'll spend the first 100 years praising God, and the rest of the time, I'll enjoy myself. This is the head of the millions of Christians, in a very little idea of what is the actual nature of God. This Vishu Sahasranam, it's an extended course in Bhagavad Tattva Vijnanam, scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. And what makes, why is he to be known as Paramam Purusham Divyam, as stated in Bhagavad Gita by Krishna himself? Paramam Purusham Divyam could be translated as the Supreme Person. He's Paramam, Supreme Purusham, the person, and Divyam, transcendental. So it's not that he spent 100 years glorifying him. You think 100 years doing something is a lot of time, right? That's a lot of time. You got 100 years in jail, 100 year jail sentence. You're not going to get out, right? 100 years jail sentence. So what happens if you do a crime inside the prison and they try, you're going to give you another 100 years? But it doesn't make any difference because you're going to die before that. So 100 years, oh, 100 years praising God. Okay, then I did my duty, I praised it. Then after that I'll enjoy myself. No, it doesn't come to... We'll spend infinite time enjoying ourselves from the moment we go. But how do we enjoy? By praising Him. The very idea, we'll praise Him, and that's boring, but then afterwards I'll enjoy myself. It's just a long, long way from the understanding that actual pleasure for the jiva is to glorify Krishna, to serve Krishna. The idea is that just as a duty, we have to praise Him. Anyway, he's eccentric, egoistic old man, so just give him some praise and make him happy, and then we'll enjoy ourselves. But the praise will go on forever, unless we go to the Vrindavan, and then the gopis are chastising. That's on a level even beyond praise. In the Bhagavad Gita also, we find Arjuna praises Krishna when he sees the universe so far. And there, among his prayers, he says, Isham Iryam. So Isham means the Supreme Lord. And Iryam, the one who is to be worshipped. Srila Prabhupada glosses that term, Isham Iryam, as to be worshipped by every living being. Shvetasvatara Upanishad, Tamishanam Varadam Devam Iryam. The word again comes, Iryam. He who is the Lord of all, benevolent, Varadam, he gives benedictions, divine, Devam, and worthy of praise. So that's Iryam, is a synonym or stavya that comes up in various parts of Shastra, Gita, Upanishads. Again, Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Tam Vishwarupam Bhava Bhutam Iryam. He who has the universe as his form, he who is the cause of all origin and existence, and who is praiseworthy. Shankaracharya, in his commentary on this verse, he comments the name Stavya means he who is praised by everyone but who does not need to praise anyone. We need to praise him, he doesn't need to praise anyone. But we will find in this verse, one of the names coming up in this verse is Stota. He also does praise others. He doesn't need to. We need to praise him, he doesn't need to praise us. But he may praise others also. That will come after a few more names. Baladev Vidyabhushan, in his commentary on this verse, states that same thing. Because Lord Krishna possesses unlimited, auspicious, transcendent qualities, we should continuously glorify him with eloquent prayers and mantras. And again, Baladev makes the point that one of his qualities for which he is praiseworthy is that he has made it easy to praise him simply by words. We don't have to undergo terrible austerities, just like I was saying, in Hinduism there are different branches and this and that. And we'll see that in South India, among the Tamil people, in the worship of Muruga, which is a Tamil name for Skanda, Kartikeya, Subramanya, there are so many names. So in praise of him, or as a means to propitiate him, people will put spikes through their mouth or through their tongue, or put hooks in their back and pull a chariot with the chain attached to the hook in their back. So they go through very severe activities to praise Muruga in order to get his benediction. But for Krishna, there's no such thing. He doesn't even want such thing. He's very happy if we praise him. Bhavadeva Vidyabhushan goes on to say that there are unlimited examples of devotees praising throughout Shastra. Young Brahma Varanendra Rudra, that we just said, great demigods are praising him. And there are more and more praises being made by devotees all the time. New prayer. Yamunacharya wrote his Stotra Ratna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur commented on that. So, Saraswati, Shuddha Saraswati, the pure form of Saraswati, she inspires devotees in newer and newer ways to praise him. A new praise. Not that the praising of. There are certain prayers which we can find written by previous acharyas, found in Bhagavad Gita, found in Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavatam. So those are authorized prayers, but it doesn't mean that new ones can't be produced, because he has unlimited qualities and he's ever fresh and ever new, and devotees are getting new inspiration to praise him in various ways. So there may be so many prayers which are yet to be composed in his praise. There's no end to it. Praise of him is not only by verbal recitation, but by acting in his service. The Pandavas, Arjuna, he fought for Krishna. Arjuna, such a powerful warrior, and he glorified Krishna because he's a devotee of Krishna. He performed his heroic acts as a devotee of Krishna, so Krishna becomes more glorified. We should glorify Srila Prabhupada. We sing every day, Ebe Josh Kushab Chabhupa. Now your glory should be announced throughout the universe. So by our activity, just like Srila Prabhupada, by his activities, he glorified Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He glorified Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is glorified by the activities of those devotees who execute his mission. And by their glorious activities, the master who has inspired them to act in that way, the master becomes more glorifying also. So glorification is not only by words, but by activities. And by words, then, Uttama Shloka, the best shlokas, they are the ones which describe it. There may be many shlokas, but the best shlokas are those which directly glorify him. And even we have our classes in the temple. I'm talking here. There's also praise of him. Another point about Krishna is that he has the capacity to absorb all the praises showered on him. We can praise him, praise him, praise him. We never become puffed up. Because those praises are actually suitable for him. We become egoistic. If someone praises us, oh yeah, I'm so great. Krishna may think the same thing. Oh, I'm so great. But actually it's true in Krishna's case. So he doesn't become falsely egoistic. He becomes really egoistic. Because he is actually great. But if we think I'm great, and then we should think, oh, maybe I have a little devotee see something. That's all from Krishna. It's nothing to do with me. So there's a great danger in ourselves being praised, that we may become material affected. But there's no question that in Krishna. That's why it's very good to praise Krishna. If we praise someone else, then that praise may actually do harm to them. Bhakti Sanskrit Thakur said that the people who insult me, they're my friends. Of course, all this talk of praise, another term for praise is kirtan. So we're reminded by these names of the Harinam Yagya. Just in the previous verse, or just prior to this, there was one name, Mahayagya. One name of Krishna, Mahayagya. He is the one who is worshipped by the great sacrifices. And the greatest yagya is Sankirtan Yagya. Sarva Yagya Vaite Krishna Nama Yagyasha. In Chaitanya Charitamrita stated, in comparison to all the different yagyas, Harinam Yagya, sacrifice of Chaitanya. That is the essence, that is the best. In Chaitanya Charitamrita stated, Koti Asham Eda He Krishna Nama Sham Deko He Shei Pashandi Donde Tare Chom. No, that's in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that's stated that anyone who says, oh, the name of Krishna is so glorious, that chanting Krishna's name once is equivalent to millions of Ashwamedha yagyas. Is that right? No, if you think that's right, then you are an atheist and you are punishable. Be careful. Because if you think that millions of Ashwamedha yagyas are equivalent to one name of Krishna, that's wrong. Because millions and millions are not. It's less than chanting the name of Krishna once. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Haridas Thakur, Kone kone karatumi, sarva tirtha shnan, kone kone karatumi, yogya topadam. At every moment, he said, you are bathing in all the holy places. At every moment you're performing great sacrifices, great austerities, and giving profuse charity. And you may look and say, well, he's not. That's not true. He's not bathing. He's just sitting there chanting Hare Krishna. But that chanting Hare Krishna, that includes everything else and surpasses it. Aho bhata svabhacho togariyan yajjiva vivartate namatukha tepas tapas teju hu sasara ya brahman ucha namagrinanti yeti devahuti. Said to her son Kapiladeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that how glorious is your holy name, inasmuch as even someone from a most sinful background becomes glorious if they're always chanting your holy name. And such a person, even if they're from such a sinful background, is understood that they've performed all sacrifices, visited all holy places, performed all rituals, everything else in the Vedas. They've already done that. That's clear from the chanting of the holy names. Then, about Haridas Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Nirantara Karo Chari Veda Adhyayam at every moment you're studying all the four Vedas. Vijanashi hoite tumi parama pava. You're more purified than any brahmanas or sannyasis. So we can't do ashramedha yagyas, we're disqualified from that. But when we chant the holy names of Krishna, it's better than performing millions of sacrifices. Even though Harinam is so easy to perform, it gives far greater benefits than performing these very difficult yagyas. And chanting Harinam very easily gives freedom from sin, which performing these yagyas doesn't. It purifies, chanting the holy name purifies the consciousness, and ultimately it gives Krishna praying, chanting the holy name, which is, you won't get from other yogis, far, far more powerful. So that's another reason to praise Krishna. He's very easily made himself available to us in the form of his holy name. So we should glorify him for all his great qualities, and all the glorification is summarized in the Mahamantra. Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Rama Hare Hare!
Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
So just on time for Russian meditation. Gora! Hare Krishna! Vansakalpatar Jastra Rubha Shindavati.